Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
What's up, everybody? Zach Matchett here, filling in for Steve on New Life Live. Welcome, wherever you're listening to us today. Thanks for hanging out with us. I am hanging out today with Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hi, Jill. How are you?
Hello, Zach. Good to be with you again.
Yeah. Yep. Mylon Yurkovich is with us, too. Hey, Mylon.
Hey, Zach. Hey, Jill. It's great to be with both of you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good to be here.
Yes.
Good
thank
return.
You so much.
I'm just honored anytime Steve reaches out and says, hey, do you mind filling in? I get to hang out with all of you. I'm here in beautiful, sunny Indiana. You guys are in the always beautiful Southern California. But I want to share just a quick story to kind of jumpstart our program today. You know that quote, the days are long, but the years are short?
Mm-hmm.
Very famous. Typically is applied to parenting or grandparenting, but I'm sure it could be applied to a lot of different things. But I had two occasions. As some of you may know, I have four young children. So my oldest is six. We have twins, a daughter, six-year-old daughter. I have twins that are a boy and a girl. They turn five on Monday, the 13th. Mm. And then I have a 15-month-old. So we're very busy at our household. And so all the things. I know, right. This is not a stress-inducing call. This is actually, yeah. This has a point. So two momentous occasions happened in our world, in our life. Obviously, the twins getting ready to turn 5 years old, and my wife grabbing them and saying, now listen, this is your last birthday. You
yes.
can't get any older, you know? And the kids laughing and being like, no, we want to get older. But then my oldest daughter lost her first tooth. So another big landmark occasion.
Huge.
And just had this beautiful photo of her just kind of holding her stuffed elephant with the tooth gone. And I just, in all seriousness, it just made me think like, man, the days are long, but that was a quick 5 years. That was a quick, you know, almost 7 years for my oldest. And my question, I guess, just to kind of set things up is like, how, goodness sakes, like whether it's parenting or otherwise, how do we live in the moment and steward that time well? And how do we steward that well, particularly for the parent figures listening with their children? How do we do that?
Jill, did you have something you wanted to say
first? No, you go ahead.
Well, I think learning to be present.
Mm-hmm.
Learning to be present. So that I see and hear, and I'm not so preoccupied or busy in my thinking that I'm not with you, even though mm-hmm. I'm sitting next to you. So learning to be with people and hear what they say and take it in, and then asking the Lord to help me be a good steward of today, because literally we only have one day at a time.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Well, and it's so true, the cliche, you don't get that time back, right?
No.
And
mm-hmm.
most parents regret things. We all regret things and mm-hmm. wish we could go back and have some of those moments where mm-hmm. we would just pause a little bit more, mm-hmm. right? And instead of, you know, getting all the tasks done or whatever. And I think of one of the things from the book that I did a foreword to, Purposeful Parenting. She talks about having 30 minutes of eyeball time with your kids every day. Now that may be hard when you have multiple kids. So even if it's less than 30 minutes or you break it up, but just they need to see your gazing at them and your interest in what they have to say. So that eyeball to eyeball, just kind of listening, letting them talk, engaging with them. So that isn't that much time, but it makes a huge difference.
Absolutely.
It's huge, Jill, and mm-hmm. I couldn't agree more. We are used to talking to our children and not looking at them.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when there's a behavior, something is going on. So to be able to sit down, look at them and say, tell me what you were feeling mm-hmm. right before you did that behavior. instead of just correcting the behavior, asking them what was going on inside of them that prompted them to do that. And that allows us to have that connection.
Yeah, they need that.
Yeah, that's great. 1-800-229-3000. Thanks so much for hanging us out with us today on New Life Live.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Thanks so much for hanging out with us today at New Life Live. Welcome again. I'm Zach Matchett, filling in for Steve Arterburn, here with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Mylon Yurkovich. I shared earlier about this quote, you know, the days are long, the years are short, and from a fellow parent figure like myself with four young kids, I learned over that weekend we went away up to my in-law's place and on the lake. It was just beautiful weather, and it was just a lot of just saying yes to things, saying yes to, you know, jumping in the water, which was very frigid, by the way. I'll let you know, 71 degrees was the temperature, but the reason I had to get in the water is because my three oldest kids were just going, Daddy, 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 at the end of the pier. And at that point, I have no choice but to jump in. But it just reminded me of just how sacred those moments are. And, you know, there's an illustration that you may have seen. Our church does something called the Family Framework at Northview, where we talk about every week matters. And at this age of your child's life, you have this many weeks left until they graduate high school, or they have this many weeks. And just the illustration of kind of the marble jar going away. And it's just, it's meant to not just be a saddening illustration, but a sobering one of making those moments matter for sure. And so that was something that I had just been kind of ruminating on and thinking about. And gosh, like, how do we steward our time well? You know, it's such an important thing that all of us face about, oh, we wish I had more time, or I wish we had this, wish we had that. But it really comes down to managing our priorities and not necessarily our time always.
So it's not meant to, we don't want to put the pressure on.
Yes, right.
But we actually want people to kind of relax into relationship more.
Yeah, right. That's right.
And what we tell people is that parenting is a phase within a marriage. So it's a phase of a marriage. It's not the entire marriage, my responsibilities to parent. And so to also then, at the same time, invest into the marriage while you are parenting, so that when those kids, Zach, turn 18 or graduate or go off to college, the husband and the wife still have a relationship that has been built during that time.
Right.
So true. Yeah. Parenting is God's sneaky way to sanctify you. I truly believe that.
That's that's another caveat.
But you're right. But yes, I want to make sure that it's strengthening the marriage and not deflating the marriage or distracting from the real issues in the marriage. And so it was just a good conversation for my wife and I just to look at each other and just kind of take the moment in and being like, can you believe this? Like just yesterday, you know, just kind of, but it was a bonding thing. It was, it was a memory that we'll remember. And we had some family photos taken. I don't want to take it too long, but just, it was a good time to spend time with the kiddos. And man, you just can't get those moments back. So make the most of it. Just if you're listening, you're a grandparent, a parent figure of any kind, make sure you're stewarding that time well with them. Again, 1-800-229-3000. Zach Matchett with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Mylon Yurkovich. We're going to get to our first call here. We're going to go to Diane. Diane is listening to us in Texas. And so, Diane, welcome to New Life Live. How can we help you today?
Thank you. I heard your show a couple of days ago, and it was talking about bravery, about heroes. And I happened to see 60 Minutes last night, and they did a show with the highlighting the Carnegie heroes that get awarded each year.
Oh, yeah.
And so it turns out there was this one woman, she was 19, and she was on a highway, and she swerved to miss a dog. She started spinning. All this traffic is facing her at high speeds, and her car wouldn't start. Some guy raps on her window, takes over, got her car started, got her to safety, and as a result, she became Dr. Abigail Marsh, who studies why some people react that way and why they don't. So she studies the difference between psychopaths and the heroes, the ones who, and it's something to do with these tiny structures in the amygdala. and the psychopaths have no empathy, mm-hmm. and then the heroes have so much that they react before they sense the fear, the you know, whatever's going on, faster, they react faster. And anyway, it was a very interesting show.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a great comment. And Diane is referring to on Monday, we actually talked about, well, it was the anniversary of D-Day, and we talked about the invasion of Normandy and just the utter bravery. Oh, my goodness. That's just, there's not enough platitudes to say of just what those gentlemen and individuals did. And, I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on this, Mylon and Jill. Just this, the word empathy was used that Diane mentioned earlier. What is the power of empathy when it comes to human relationship?
Huge.
Well, it's huge, but yeah. Where does it come from? And so there's a simple formula. Number one is I have to start with self-awareness. I have to learn, what am I feeling on the inside? What are my emotions? What are my thoughts? And who am I on the inside? When I can have self-awareness, then I begin to develop other attunement, or the ability to have other awareness. Because I have feelings, I assume Jill does. I assume Zach does. Zach does. And with that comes the ability to begin to have an inkling of empathy, because I'm attuned with you, and I can look at you, and I can even wonder what's going on inside there.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the beginning of developing empathy, because I see you and see you as a person who is three-dimensional, and there's an internal you that might be feeling good feelings or not so good feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And empathy comes out of that.
Right. And Mylon, there are those people, though, that only have empathy for themselves.
Yes.
So they may be highly aware of what they're feeling, but it doesn't translate to the other.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, in addition to that, it's the ability to be able to have perspective taking.
Mm-hmm.
Can I put myself in another's shoes?
Right.
I'm feeling this, so can I then generalize?
Mm-hmm.
To others, and use this to increase my relatability.
Right.
Right? So you have to see that others exist as part of that, too. Yeah,
that's exactly right.
Right.
And being able to just, what's the old saying of just like, you step into other person's shoes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's deeper, too. I think it's a human element that it takes great care, it takes great discernment to know. How, and not only that, I think empathy too. How am I being experienced when I talk to this person? Like, what is the story behind it? There's something I saw recently. Like, every person you meet is fighting a battle that you have no idea about. I mean, everybody's got this story, and I think part of the empathy is understanding at base level that there are instances and relationships that make this person who they are. And I know that it's at times, for goodness sake, it's hard to be empathetic when you are frustrated or angry with a particular individual or something like that. It's like, well, I don't want to be empathetic towards, because I'm not that way, or I'm not that person. I would never do, you know, XYZ behavior. And so I was just curious, from the therapeutic standpoint, if you find somebody who maybe lacks empathy, obviously we know there's physiological things and cognitive things maybe going on that contributed to that, but how do you even try to push someone towards empathy more? Is there something even practical that they can do?
Yes, because as Jill said, there's a lot of people who, because of their attachment experiences as a child, did not have an empathic parent or one who could see them, know them, respond to them, and nurture them. And so they end up growing up with a huge deficit of empathy because they've never experienced it. When people come into our offices, a lot of times they're resistant to empathy because they've hardened themselves and said, well, other people have had to go through horrible things like that, so it's no big deal. Yet they're struggling in their relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I try to do, Zach, is help them go back and look at some of the hurts, the disconnections, the lack of connection that they experienced as a child, how they were hurt, traumatized, and then show them empathy myself in real time for what happened to them back there. And
so that they have a new experience.
That's right.
Right.
With somebody real time having a real response to, oh my goodness, that happened to you? I'm so sorry.
Right. And it's almost like surprising to them.
It is totally surprising to them.
They're not used to that. So having a parent that's self-absorbed or isn't able to attune,
right?
So then a child doesn't get accurate mirroring.
No, they don't.
Right? So part of our job as therapists is to mirror people more accurately.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Right? So that they can understand, oh, this makes sense that I'm having this reaction.
Right. Yeah. I like that word choice, mirroring. That's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jill's good at that.
Yeah, she is. Yes. Thank you. I appreciate that. And no, seriously, I think you've got to be able to see it from a different perspective. And you've got to be able to kind of, sometimes that's almost saying it back or modeling it back of what that means. That's good. I wanted to mention during the month of June when you give here to New Life, we got a great resource for you, and this is actually his birthday month. We wanted to celebrate the late Dr. Dave Stoop, who just was such a meaningful part of the New Life team. When you give to New Life this month, we're actually going to send you his book, Making Peace with Your Father, and it takes you through 11 steps that will help you make peace with your earthly father, just thinking about parenting, but so that it can have a closer relationship with your Heavenly Father. And again, anytime you contribute to New Life, just know you're making a difference. We would love to send you that gift for free this month. So thanks so much for contributing to all the great ministry here and to honor Dr. Dave Stoop.
And Father's Day is just, you know, a couple of weeks away.
Yes.
And so the realization that our fathers create a preset in us that we project onto God often.
Oh my gosh,
so one of the things we do talk about is how our attachment style affects our view of God.
Right.
And so it's really important to be able to forgive. And Dave had a very powerful story about learning to forgive his father and to be at peace with that.
Right. How he transformed that.
Absolutely.
And then went on to help so many people.
Many other people. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. That's great. Love to get to our next call here. We're going to go to JR. JR is listening to us in Missouri. And so, JR, welcome to New Life Live. How can we help you today?
Yes, just give me a minute. I got to get up from the table and get in here.
You're fine.
Okay. Yeah. I got a hamburger in my mouth, so I got to swallow it.
Sorry, we caught you mid-bite. You're good.
Well,
okay, first of all, I'd like to ask you if it'd be all right. I've got about six Bible verses that are the foundation for my question. So can I just list the Bible verses for you? Would that be all right first?
I think it would be best if you just gave us the question first.
Yeah, because we're going to go to a break here, JR, and we'd love to and give some time for you to actually ask your question. So when we come back from a break, we can address it more fully. So what is your direct question?
Okay, here's my question. Is it right to think that born-again believers are different from the rest of humankind on the earth because they have two separate births, two separate natures, and they are two separate creatures than what they were before they were a born-again child of God? So that's my question.
Yeah. Well, thank you for asking. Well, initially, I guess I have some follow-up question. Like, is there something that maybe is leading you to ask that? I mean, that's a pretty loaded question. We could probably spend a lot of time on it. But is there something that is maybe the reason
prompting
behind that
it.
Question or prompting that question? That's a good way of saying it.
Okay. This is going to sound peculiar, but I understand that God has called us to be miracle workers. When I say miracle workers, specifically the new birth, there's no greater miracle than that. And when I understand basically what I've been told, there are about 3.2 billion people on this world that have not heard the gospel. It concerns me about the dysfunctional of the believers and the church itself during this time. So I was wondering if we understand what we have in order to apply it to the situations that we find ourselves in the world today.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, JR. That's helpful clarity for us. Hang on, we're going to get to you after the break here. Again, thanks so much for joining us at New Life Live today. And I would just say, if you find this show helpful or any of our previous shows helpful to you, please share it with somebody who's in need, whether it's a topic that you can relate to or someone that just needs some direction in life. We love being able to help people here at New Life. We'll be back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Thanks again for hanging out with us today on New Life Live. Zach Matcha here, filling in for Steve Arterburn. I am with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Mylon Yurkovich. We have had JR on the line, and he was asking kind of a two-part question. One was talking about just the idea of rebirth as Christians. So one of the common obviously one of the core teachings of Christianity is that when you become a Christian, when you follow Jesus Christ, you believe in his death and resurrection, there is a rebirth that happens. You know, there's this famous passage in John 3 in the New Testament where Jesus tells a well-schooled, scholarly Pharisee named Nicodemus and says, "You must be born again." And Nicodemus is like, "Well, that seems physiologically impossible. How do I get back into my mother's womb and actually be born again?" And Jesus says, he talks about God's mission. "For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." There's a rebirth that happens. Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, he or she's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. So that was kind of the first part. But then J.R. mentioned that there are, some billion people in the world that have not heard the message of Christ. What about those people? And as a pastor, that's probably in the, you know, of the years that I've served in ministry, of kind of the big existential questions, the what about the people who have not heard? Mm-hmm. What awaits them? That is in the top 10, you know, of questions that could probably very generically be asked. And so as we were discussing over the break, Mylon, you had mentioned, Rick Warren is retiring as pastor of Saddleback Church. I know you know Rick, but he's got a great new direction he's kind of heading in for his next phase of ministry, and it was something that called Finish the Task, where actually addresses this directly.
Exactly. Finishing the Task is a interdenominational effort amongst lots of churches and Christian leaders around the world, and Rick is going to be spearheading that group to finish the task. One of the most beautiful things in the book of Revelation is a group of people in front of the throne of God, worshiping him. And it says that who are these people? And the angel answers John and says, these are people from every nation, language, people group, and tongue on the planet. And so everyone on the planet will be represented. And we know statistically that only a small percentage of countries and people groups have not yet been reached.
Yeah.
And so, Jill, you were talking about the individual responsibility that each one of us has.
Well, I was thinking about Jesus and after he rose again,
right,
his sermon on the Great Commission, and mm-hmm. that we are all called to that. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to each individually. I appreciate JR looking at the vast, huge problem here and how do we motivate as believers. But I think it also starts in our individual hearts. And I think that's part of why we have to kind of be clear with our stuff, the baggage from our old nature, that as we become Christians, you know, Steve always says we don't go into instant character, and that we need to clear up those things, because those are the very things the enemy uses to keep us from the Great Commission, mm-hmm. right? And so seeing that as our goal, that we're all called to further the good news, and that may look different in each of our lives.
But Jill, I love what you're saying, because one of the things that if we work on our baggage to mm-hmm. to decrease the load and the pain that historically we have accumulated, mm-hmm. then we can also be less off-putting to people.
Right.
And we can be more attractive to them wanting to hear mm-hmm. the gospel. Mm-hmm. I've had an interesting thing happen to me now that I'm a SEP septuagenarian, which means I'm 70 years old.
Is that what they're calling it these days, Mylon? Yeah, thank you. Well, that's a great vocab word.
That is what they've called it for more than just this decade. But I am doing more funerals now. I have people calling me. I have had five people call me in the last month to do a funeral. And what I've decided, when I'm available to speak at somebody's service, I'm going to really share the gospel very strongly because to the people that are there, that they can understand the reality that this person who has died, that we're all next.
Right.
You know, that we're that is our future, unless the Lord returns quickly, which I'm hoping for. So that I don't have to go through that. But
yes.
We have to realize it's our job to share the gospel with people. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that Kay and I are doing more and more with people we meet all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think about that passage, the Great Commission that you were sharing. And Mylon, I had a chance to speak in my grandfather's funeral. He passed away in late 2020. And I remember thinking, the hope that I have is that is the same thing that the angel told the women at the tomb. He's not here. He is risen. Mm-hmm. And because Jesus is risen, if we put our faith in him, none of us will truly die, you know? And that is the hope that we can find in that. But that is the gospel. That is the good news of what we believe. But the Great Commission part, you know, what's interesting is when Jesus says, go into, make disciples of all nations, when you think of nation, you know, you may think of geographically, you know, a location, a country of some kind, Spain, you know, Canada, United States, whatever. But actually, the Greek there is ethnos, which is where we get the word ethnicity, meaning it says go to all peoples. Go to all peoples and all dem. So it's demographic and not geographic in nature in terms of that original language. And what's cool about that is, as you said, Mylon, that picture, beautiful picture of every tribe, tongue, and nation gathered at the throne of God, which means two things. One is that we will see that eventually, and Rick's work will not be in vain. As you mentioned, all of us have the opportunity to share the gospel. But secondly, all of those things, culture, ethnicity, language, all that will be retained as well in eternity, because it's the one thing that's mentioned among the multitude. And I love that expression of worship to God. So anyway, JR, hope that was helpful to you. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible personal size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life pen and highlighter, and a New Life zippered tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Wherever you're listening from today, thanks again for listening to us on New Life Live. Zach Matchett here with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Mylon Yurkovich. We also are joined by Larry Sonnenberg. Hi, Larry.
Hey,
what
Zach.
Do you have for us today?
Couple things quickly. I know you got calls here to take. One, we still have the match. This is a recorded program. I can't give you an exact update, but I know it's still going on, and I would really appreciate folks if they would give towards that. Because when you give, we get to withdraw that much money from the account where the matching challenge was given. So I'll let that be that, and I'm going to let that be it. And you just, I'm going to trust God that you're going to make a good decision, folks, and make a gift. I want to read an Every Man's Battle testimony. It starts tomorrow right there in Indianapolis.
Yes.
And I mentioned this one the last time the three of us were together.
Oh.
He says, thank you for providing such a balanced approach to the issue of sexual addiction. Part spiritual, part practical. In the past, I controlled my acting out by sheer power of will. It was not working, and I failed. You addressed the root causes of my addiction, not the behavior. The times with my counselor in group were very powerful. Our group started as strangers, and 36 hours later, we were brothers. The discussions of shame and guilt were very helpful. The staff's personal experiences qualify them to lead our group. The presence of a shame-free zone encouraged openness. The praise and worship invited the presence of God to be with us. I've been changed by attending. My wife will be changed. My children will be changed. Although there was a cost to this, I would have paid $10,000 for what I've been blessed with.
Mm.
Wow.
He got way more than he expected.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, folks, guys, I know there are men listening, and I know there's wives of men who need to come to this. And it's a day away right there in Indy. And if you can get there, please sign up. You don't want to miss this. It's an amazing experience. The Holy Spirit never fails to show up to that workshop. And if you'll be a willing spirit and just participate and listen and hear God, change your perspective, because that's what the Holy Spirit does, things will be different here on out. So
absolutely. Yeah,
thanks for that.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. Well, and again, another incredible resource to help people find recovery, find healing, find community to do it with and to do it alongside. And just another appeal for me and from all of us, that if you are listening and do find yourself in that place where you feel stuck, whether you're the one who is addicted or you are married to the one or a family member of the one who is and just want to get them some help, this is another great resource for them. Again, tomorrow, June 10th in Indianapolis, where I am located, please make plans to attend that if you think that would be a helpful resource for you. Let's go back to our calls. We got Stephanie here. Stephanie is listening in from Virginia. Stephanie, welcome to New Life Live. How can we help you today?
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
I have a question regarding my sister and mother. They had a falling out, so I'm trying to get them back together, and I'm trying to figure out a way to get them back together without causing too much more confusion.
Yeah. That is, gosh, on behalf of the family, trying to resolve conflict is a challenging situation that you probably find yourself in. Do you mind, Stephanie, sharing maybe some context around this, the disconnect between your sister and your mom?
Well, my mother, she's blaming my sister for things that my sister hasn't done. Like, she blamed my sister for destroying some of her clothes. So I actually went over to her house to look at the clothes, and the clothes had maybe like some little spots on them. And I'm like, you could have got those spots from rubbing up against the wall. Why are you blaming, you know, my sister for it? And she really didn't have a good explanation why she was doing that. She blamed my sister for, like, she had some little, I don't know if y'all know, I'm old, so they used to have like the little fruit bowls, and used to have like the plastic fruit in it that wasn't real, that you couldn't eat. It was like rubber fruit.
Yes.
So she blamed my sister for cutting off the stems on the fruit. And I was like, why would she even do something like that? So
yeah.
They haven't spoken for like 3 years now.
Oh, wow.
Because of all these little things my mother is accusing her of doing.
Oh, my goodness. That's much longer. As you were sharing it, I was not thinking as long of a time frame, Stephanie. So, Jill, jump in here. I mean, oh, my goodness. Like, if you're the family member on behalf of this situation, how would you counsel Stephanie today?
Well, Stephanie, I'm also wondering, has your mom's relationship with this sister always been difficult or contentious? Like, she's not blaming you for any of these things.
Yes, they have always had contention in between the relationship, yes.
Mm. So
when my stepfather died, they got closer together.
Okay.
And he's been there for, like, I think 15 years. But this part about the blaming stuff started about like 3-4 years ago.
Okay. And how old's your mom?
She is 72.
72, okay. But any health issues, any other changes that you've noted about her?
No, she works every day. The only thing she has is high blood pressure. She tells me the doctor gives her a good bill of health every time she goes to see the doctor.
Okay. Hmm. Well, sometimes when we've had difficulty early on in life with someone, those things circle back around and somehow resurrect themselves. I don't know what exactly is going on with your mom, but she seems unsettled. And so these things that you're saying, okay, these are just piddly little things. So it's probably, Stephanie, not about those piddly little things. Your mom is not feeling okay on the inside. And your sister, in years past, has been the cause of some of that in your mom's mind. And so this is like circling back around. And so I wonder how much your mom will talk about her feelings, when she's been hurt, when she's felt slighted. I wonder if your sister tends to be one that maybe doesn't tend to your mom as much. So I think that there's some things going on at a much like deeper level than these piddly things. And I wouldn't waste my energy on these things. I would say, Mom, okay, these things don't, you know, seem a bit out of proportion, which tells me what else is going on? What are you still holding on to with sister? Right? And so to get your mom to maybe look a little deeper, that maybe these are just ways to express her upset, but they aren't necessarily the problem.
Yeah, that's good. Mylon, what would you jump in here with?
Well, yes, it's easy to make someone a lightning rod for our frustration. And so often families will have that person in the family that is always a lightning rod, always the one that is the target of someone's, as you said, Jill, their internal distress and
agitation,
and then they discharge, you know, that on a person because they're used to doing that. It's a habit,
right?
Really. And the only other thing I've thought about too, Stephanie, is if your mom, if there is the possibility of dementia setting in, where sometimes reality and what a person thinks is true is not always true, or it is they obsess on certain things that, as Jill already said, then rise bigger and out of proportion at some level. Because dementia and is really a way that the brain doesn't assess correctly of what is going on around the person. So I would also want to know how your mom is doing. She might have a good physical bill of health, except for the high blood pressure from the doctor, but that doesn't mean that everything is working right inside her brain. And you said this has been about something going on for, you know, four and a half years. And I would really want to look at that and ask your mom really what's going on. I'd want to ask your stepfather, what are you seeing? And
he passed away.
But he passed away.
Oh, okay.
So we got closer together once he passed away. But I have talked to my mother about, and she, when we talked to her about, not me and my sister, but me and other family members, the things that she'd be saying, we said, that doesn't make sense what you're saying. And she thinks it's us. She doesn't see that the stuff that she's saying that my sister is doing
that's the point that Mylon is trying to make.
This is the point I'm trying to make. Her assessments are
off.
And so if she met with a gerontologist and someone that could help her assess that and to do an assessment, an aging assessment of where is your mom at? She could be 72 years old, but her brain could be older than that. And she could be struggling, and I'd really want to get...
It may be at the very beginning, right?
This is what I'm saying.
And it also could be medication-induced.
Well,
so looking at all of her
meds. We have to look at all these things and to find a doctor that will sit down and talk to her and help her understand. And that's a beautiful point you made, Stephanie. The very fact that she thinks you guys are the one who are crazy and she's not believing you, that's another danger sign to me.
Absolutely.
So,
And Stephanie, stay on over the break. We're going to go to break here in a second. We'd love to send you a resource to get you some more direct help. Again, thanks so much for joining us today on New Life Live. We'll be back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Thanks again for hanging out with us today on New Life Live. Zach Match here, filling in for Steve Arterburn. I'm with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Mylon Yurkovich. We are on the line with Stephanie. Stephanie was sharing about some separation and just some disconnect, really, relationally between her mother and her sister. And we talked a bit about maybe some of the, you know, relational and emotional sides of that. But we also talked about what could be going on physically, physiologically, with her. And Mylon, you made a comment over the break, and I want to share this with Stephanie too, maybe about attending the next doctor's visit, maybe to ask some of these more direct questions. Do you want to kind of flesh that out a little bit more?
Yeah, these are always very hard. How do you deal with the aging parent? And you could do a couple of things, Stephanie. You could write a letter to the doctor, because, you know, doctor-patient privilege, they are not allowed to talk to you. But you could write a letter and say, you know, we're seeing these things in mom, and we would like you to please evaluate her cognitive abilities and cognitive functioning. Because this is where, and I love, Jill, that you said this could be the start of something where things are out of control or blowing out of proportion. The other thing to do would be to ask mom, could I go to the doctor with you for your next visit? The doctor, apparently, she trusts, she knows. And for the doctor to begin to be able to see some advocacy from the family is very important.
Right. You could call the doctor's office talk to one of the staff and just say, how do you handle things? How do you best handle it? We're seeing some things in my mom. Mm-hmm. She's in denial about it. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that the doctor's aware because she can. You might not see it. Right.
And that's a great way. That's a great way to manage it as well, Jill. I like that.
Yeah.
But you have to do something to become an advocate for the parent.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's great. Well, and Stephanie, we want to actually, and I thought of this just kind of as a bit of a general resource, but I think it'd be helpful too, because I think about Stephanie, you and your sister, I mean, just trying to navigate this and having an outlet. I would encourage you to get into a group of some kind, counseling. Certainly, you could go to newlife.com or reach out to us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and we can get you pointed into the direction of some of that stuff. But I want to send you the Take Your Life Back book, too, just because I think that there is some responsibility as we're caring for others to maintain our own health and well-being. So we got a few minutes here, and I want to get to Chloe. She's been waiting very patiently. And so, Chloe, thanks so much for listening to us on New Life Live. How can we help you today?
Hi. God, it's just so hard to start. I've been married for 30 years, and it's been a very difficult marriage. And we're both Christians, and I just feel really stuck. I don't know. I mean, I just finally told them that their marriage should have ended a long time ago, and I'm kind of in a rural area, and I'm just kind of, I just feel really stuck. I don't know where to turn.
Chloe, I'm so sorry. I hear the sadness in your voice. Is there a particular issue about the marriage that's making it challenging, or has made it challenging?
He's verbally abusive. I don't know. We're churchgoers. I'm a Christian, you know. But you know, he's never changed, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, he's worse when we're in front of people. I mean, he belittles me, and you know, just ridicules. And I just finally the other day just finally told him. I told him about a month ago. I just can't do this any longer. I don't have it in me.
Yeah. Have you sought help from a counselor? Have you tried to get into a recovery group of any kind? Have you taken any steps to kind of get through this situation?
Yeah. Well, I most recently, about a year or two ago, he wouldn't go to counseling with me. I mean, he used to tell me just, you know, leave, like don't let the door hit you in the butt, and he cusses at me and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, he wouldn't go. So he said, you go, I went. You know, but he just—it's like I just kind of talk, like continue on, you know.
Yeah.
Even though, and you know, and it's not like I need to do that. You know, I mean, it's just like, I just don't understand why I've remained, you know.
Yeah. That's so hard. Well, thanks for calling. Mylan, how can we help?
That's the great question, mm-hmm. because I hear a frustration on two parts, how he is treating you, and then number two, what your response has been, and why are you still doing this? I have a recommendation for you. On your side of the United States, which is the East Coast, we're going to be doing an intimacy and marriage workshop July 22nd in Washington, D.C., if you were to say to your husband,
"I'm in Wyoming,"
she's in Wyoming.
Oh, Wyoming. Okay, I'm sorry. I thought you were in New York. I saw
the print is very small.
I misread it. Okay, Wyoming. Anyhow, but if you were to say to him, "Look, I'm not doing this anymore. But if you want me to continue in this relationship, you must come with me to the Intimacy and Marriage Workshop in Washington, D.C. It's a boundary that says, I want something better out of this, mm-hmm. but here's what I require of you for me to stay here. I'm not going to do this anymore, but here is your opportunity to join me at something that will be helpful. And that would be a start. But you really do need to get the support, Jill. Mm-hmm. For how can she have the courage to stop doing something she's done for 30 years?
Right. I think it's really good questions. And Chloe, that's what you should be in therapy looking at.
Right.
Why am I, what about me is willing to tolerate this? Mm-hmm. And then to be aware that you've had a 30-year dance with this man and you need to learn some new dance steps, because even though he's not willing to do anything, and that makes you feel really stuck. That says that, okay, it's only if he changes can anything happen, and that's just not true. And so often, and we women, I always say, we see everything that's wrong in our lives through our relationship, and we often feel very dependent, and we're trying to get them to change. Mm. So what do you need to do different? Whether you stay or you go, how does your life, Chloe's life, need to be different? And start doing the different now, with or without him. Mm-hmm. Because it's not it's a lie that, well, if I leave this marriage, then I can have a life. No. No, there's a reason why you're not having a life now, and that's important to look at.
Yeah. Even if we're not the primary, quote unquote, primary perpetrator of whatever the ill or the evil of the marriage or the sin is, that doesn't remove the responsibility of like stewarding our own health and well-being and growing in our own life. I mean, we have, there are certain things. And so even if it's said positively, Jill, as you just said, let's get to the root of why you're continuing to stay in it. Let's get to the root of why you haven't said, have a firmer boundary, Mylan, as you said. That's going to be very revealing. And mm-hmm. some of the greatest gifts we can give to ourselves is just the self-awareness of why we are, and some of the experiences that lead to that. And I'm really glad you plugged that intimacy and marriage workshop. And again, I just wanted to share this just because you mentioned it. It is in D.C., July 22nd to the 24th. If you register by July 8th, you can actually save $200. And man, when your marriage is on the ropes, and if you want to save it and you want to go after it, this could be a really, really good kind of linchpin to turn the corner. Hopefully, I'm praying for Chloe that this could be a helpful thing. And then finally, I would just say, too, if you find yourself in that place where your marriage is struggling and you feel like you just can't find your way out, or you're any place of challenge or hardship, man, just know, yes, you could be a Christian, but there's still broken areas of our lives, and God wants to bring healing to that. But by the Holy Spirit's help and our cooperation, can we get there? So take that step. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.